Thank you. Name is Christoph Kuhner from University of Cologne, financial accounting and auditing, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to present my paper for you, Competition of Accounting Standards, Comparability of Financial Information and Critical Masses, Evolutionary Approach. Competition of Accounting Standards means that firms have the possibility to opt alternatively for alternative standards, for example, IFRS or US GAAP, and paper analyzes possibilities and limitations of such a competition. Starting point is the opposite paradigm, is the paradigm of global harmonization. International harmonization of accounting standards is observable since four decades. It first started in Europe in the so-called, at that time, European Community with harmonization of accounting standards for community states as part of the corporate law harmonization. This process was followed by the rise of the IASB, which overshadowed this European Community harmonization and finally reached the rank of a globally accepted standards with the important other community, the US, which followed the USGAAP. So at the moment we have two globally accepted accounting standards, IFRS and USGAAP, and the latest development is that both standard setting boards, the IASB and the FASB, have consented to a harmonization of their both standards in medium term. They have signed documents about commitments to conversions in the medium term, perhaps 5 years or 10 years, and then the aim is to have one single globally accepted standard. This harmonization paradigm is challenged by the opposite paradigm, by the paradigm about standards competition. Standards competition means that perhaps global harmonization and one single globally accepted standard does not make sense. Competition means that it's perhaps superior for firms and for capital markets if firms have the opportunity to opt for one standard in a set of two or three or four or five alternative standards. This viewpoint was promoted also prominently by Chaim Sander. Chaim Sander and Ronald Dye wrote a paper 9 years ago titled "Why Not Allow the FASB and IASB Standards to Compete in the US?" This is a question which nowadays is actual because of the background of this convergence project. Competition of accounting standards is in some market segments an observable phenomenon. In the middle of the 90s, German firms and other European firms began to draft their group statements in international accounting norms, in USGAAP, for example, or IAS, IFRS. Since 2008, we have limited competition of accounting standards for foreign issuers in U.S. stock exchanges since 2008. Foreign issuers are allowed to opt out of USGAAP and present their standards in IFRS. Standard competition, observable phenomenon, but in very limited market segments up to this moment. From a viewpoint of economic thought, competition of standards is a vision which was promoted primarily by the neo-Austrian school of economic theory, with the most prominent author Friedrich August von Hayek. In Friedrich August von Hayek's works, this plays a great role. The argument that not only individuals and firms compete in respect to resources, but also in the social community, there is a competition about rules, laws, standards of behavior, with the aim, with the vision that the optimal standard will evolve as an equilibrium. You all know, presumably, a famous quotation of von Hayek of the evolution of the spontaneous orderly optimum. A spontaneous orderly optimum will be the result of standards competition. Critics have argued that von Hayek did not provide any explanation of the process of evolution towards the superior equilibrium, and I will show that there are perhaps some elements which can be regarded as relevant in this respect. I will show some elements of this process, arguing in patterns of evolutionary game theory, two persons, two strategies game. Now, what are the principles governing standards competition? I shape out here two dimensions of accounting standards usefulness. Of accounting standards to the capital market. This is, on the one side, inherent quality. Does standard lead to fair representation? Does it precisely, exactly draw a picture of economic performance, of prospects, of financial position? And there, I will argue, maybe existing standards of different quality. In my paper, there is one good standard, respect in inherent quality, and one bad standard competing against each other. The other dimension of standards usefulness is comparability. Standards may be of very good inherent quality, but not comparable, because all other members of the community follow other standards. And then a firm which drafts its statements in the qualitatively superior standard loses because its statements are not comparable. The grounds of these arguments, I design my two persons, two strategies game. Two persons, that means two firms, or better, two founders, or the founders of two different firms, opting for one standard in their corporate charter. There are two standards, one good standard and one bad standard. Firms have incentive to opt for the good standards because of greater inherent quality, but there is on the other side the comparability argument. I have the scenario that there's one investor. The investor invests large funds. If both firms draft their statements according to the good quality standards, because then the investor can more precisely form his expectations. He will invest a smaller volume of funds if both opt for the bad standards because of inferior quality of decision useful information. Will invest no funds if both firms draft their statements in different standards, because then both firms are not comparable and the investor is not able to form expectations about which firm has a better performance and which firm has a performance which is inferior. This gives payoffs. A, expected payoffs to initial owners if adopting the bad standard and its peer adopting the same standard. B, expected payoff to the initial owners if adopting the good standard and its peer adopting the same standards. And now, as said, expected payoff if those firms apply different standards. B is greater than A is greater than null, and payoff information is common knowledge. And this gives now a version of a communication game called communication game or coordination game, and this game is called tender trap. Why it is called tender trap will be explained later. You see two strategies, two persons, two alternative cells, combination, four alternative combinations of strategies. You see if both firms apply different standards, then we have a payoff of null, zero. We have for both firms a payoff of B greater than A. If both apply good standards and if both apply bad standards, then they have a positive payoff, but which is smaller than VA. For example, if you take number 5 for A and number 3 for B, this is this form. Now, questions, where are the Nash equilibria of these games? Answer, these are indicated in bold. Nash equilibria are the both situations where both firms apply the same standards. And if both firms apply the same standards, no firm has the incentive to follow another strategy. No firm has to regret a strategy which was actually followed by this firm. What do we learn? There are two equilibria. One situation with both firms following the good strategy and one situation with both firms following the bad strategy. The match between good standard and bad standard is not decided for one firm or for one strategy or the other strategy. Okay, let's turn to the evolutionary game, to the evolutionary form of this game. Evolutionary game means that this game is played in a community of many players. And each member of this community, each member of the population, has a choice to opt for one or for the other standard. And then the game is played many rounds. That means that randomly two members of the population are drawn and matched together. And payoffs of these two members are decided according this scheme. This is the populationary game, and it's the aim of evolutionary game theory to look which equilibrium evolves after many, many repetitions of this game. Yes, equilibria in the one-shot game, I have told you, illusionary game, which was, we have now two equilibria which are preserved. Two equilibria means these two equilibria remain equilibria in the evolutionary game. Situation has not changed. Both alternatives are possible. But there's also one other equilibrium, an inner equilibrium, with 70.5% of players adopting good strategy and 62.5% of players adopting the bad strategies. This equilibrium is no stable equilibrium. It has the quality of a turning point, has the quality of a critical mass. Critical mass means that if more than 37.5% of players opt for the good strategy, the bad strategy will be completely eliminated in the path of the evolution and vice versa. This is the purpose of critical masses. What have we learned in the evolutionary game? These both equilibria are persistent. And we have learned that the critical mass is the threshold which decides over the path of the evolution. Okay, this was a two strategies game. Now we add one strategy. We add the strategy that a firm can opt for multiple strategies. That means that firm can opt for drafting its statements in both both versions of the statements, in USGAAP, for example, or IFRS. If firms opt for multiple strategies, firm must bear adaptation costs. It's simply there exists higher cost for drafting the statements in two different standards. Normal form with multiple strategies, which was the result is that even in this situation, the two equilibria, good standard and bad standard, followed by both players, are preserved. No other equilibrium, stable equilibrium, is added. Example, for this case in the evolutionary game, both equilibria are preserved as stable steady states and of the evolution. Now, what's about critical masses and what's about the role of the adaptation cost? Dependent on the adaptation costs, inner equilibria exists in which multiple strategies are played. That means multiple strategies are played in situation where there is an unstable inner equilibrium, where there is a critical mass. I distinguish two situations with low adaptation costs. There are played strategies, bad and multiple. With medium adoption cost, there are played strategies, bad, good, and multiple. Inner equilibria are unstable in the evolutionary sense, maybe characterized as turning points or critical masses. I think my time is over, isn't it? 2 minutes, yes. There are now two interesting things about these multiple strategies and the adoption of multiple strategies during the evolution. First is the observation that multiple strategies will spread in medium term. will spread in medium term when the evolution is towards the good optimum. Multiple strategies, on the other hand, will decline monotonically in the medium term if the evolution is towards the bad equilibrium. Means a spread of multiple strategies on the medium term is an indicator for good evolution. Second observation is the behavior of critical masses in dependence on adaption costs. You see here that for low adaption costs, critical masses with multiple strategies are lower than without multiple strategies in the simple two strategies two persons game. They are higher for medium adaption costs, and here in this segment they converge to the critical masses of the two strategies two persons game. Regulatory implication: with low adoption costs for multiple standards, it follows that the regulator should in tendency renounce enforcement of one single standard. Opposite is true if there are medium and high costs of multiple strategies, and the observation that a temporary spread of multiple strategies may indicate a spontaneous evolution towards the Pareto superior evolutionary stable equilibrium. Many thanks.
So why in the setup should we plausibly think that the zero payoff is the mixed equilibrium? Is that because investors given a mixed adoption will say, I don't know what's going on and therefore I won't invest in the company?
Yes, the nil payoff is a crucial argument in respect to comparability. If firms are not comparable according to their financial statements, investors will hesitate. Investors will hesitate to invest their funds. This was the main argument in the discussions of the 19th in Germany and other countries about the adoption of international financial reporting standards. But for the message of this game, for the results, these costs must not be zero. The whole game functions in the same way. Benefits, the payoffs are lower than A, it must not be zero. But it captures the intuition that if investment projects are not comparable because of different financial statements followed, investors will, ceteris paribus, not be ready to invest much money. Yes.
Are you saying yes. That if you instead of zero, if you put an X there and add X to everything else in the table, it would also be the same? If you add X to all the numbers in the table,
yes.
The results would be the same?
Yes, must not be zero.
What about learning? I mean, so it's why wouldn't you say if they're not comparable, that assumes that the standards are radically different? But over time, they could actually, presumably market actors, could come to understand the relative value of these various standards and compare, and would change all the calculations. It seems very reasonable to assume that that's likely to happen. Total non-comparability seems almost inconceivable after any
This is not the observation which we had in Germany during the 90s. In Germany, there was not a learning process so that international investors learn to compare IFRS statements with statements according to the commercial code. I don't think that this learning process is in reality a significant phenomenon.
So I have a question, because you did ask there is a good standard and a bad standard. It is a way for you to distinguish two equilibria. But in fact, we don't know if there is a real best one.
Mm-hmm.
We can say that it is only a political problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that evolutionary game was a good way to modernize that, because maybe something very interesting will be just to consider how many people how many investors want such standard and how many people want the other standard. And we can see now, because in France you have the discussion about fair value and to change it, and it is just because some banks want to change. And,
mm-hmm.
and so you need maybe some not symmetrical game. You have some asymmetrical game with different kind of actors, and also you have an uncertainty about the payoff of standards.
Yes, you are perfectly right. The same thing would be argued if von Hayek would sit here, that there's no consensus a priori about standards quality. Standards quality is revealed by process of competition. That is a Hayekian argument, which is not captured by my setting. My setting is therefore of limited range, but my question was, what happens even if there is common knowledge about standards quality a priori. And I think that the significance of this, is relevant. I think that although significant is limited, it's relevant because it's interesting to see how the economy, how the populations behaves even from the background of common knowledge. I don't think that treatment can be different if you choose game theory as methodology. Then if you deviate from the common knowledge assumption, you can't make game theoretic treatment.
Well, in that case, it's a very interesting game. Of course, the game tells you about what might happen if you play the evolutionary game. That's another competition.
Yeah.
Yes, unsupervised competition. Right? Yes. Competition. The comparison would be non-competition, where a good or bad standard is picked by some authority.
Mm-hmm.
And what will happen under that situation, that's a datum against which you want to compare the outcome of this game.
Yes, surely, but if this is a setting and,
sure.
and we have an authority and this authority is benevolent, the authority would say, let's play the good stand.
So they know ex ante which one?
Yes.
Of course, if authority
yes,
knows.
Yes. The point is that in this setting, also in the evolutionary setting, there is no room for collective action. towards the good quality standard. This game has the name Panda Trap. It's a name I found in a paper of Fischer, Life at Panda Trap, because no one in the population has incentive to deviate from the bad strategy as soon as the bad strategy is played by the majority of players in the community. And therefore, there is a problem of collective action. There may different strategies, different alternative strategies for a regulator. Regulator may say, as a dictator, okay, I decree to be. Regulator may establish on the other hand, framework for collective action in organizing, coordinating the players in committees and in working groups, for example, and then reaching a consensus not about standards quality, but about collective action to overcome this situation.
Yeah, I mean, von Hayek's essential argument was of discovery, right?
Yes.
That a market process might lead to discovery of things we don't know about, the central planner cannot know about.
Yes, yes.
And since in a common knowledge framework where central planner knows everything, everything is known ex ante, and the evolutionary game can only give you something worse than central planning. It cannot do better, by definition.
Okay, by definition. Von Hayek, on the other hand, argues that spontaneous evolution towards the optimum is the rule. This is a central argument. He argues that this is a nearly universal rule that systems which are in a situation of spontaneous organization converge towards the optimum. And I think I can show in the evolutionary game that this must not be the case.
Well, thank you.